This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Guys, welcome back to Now This. Guys is a simple term. It could mean boys, or if you're modern, hip, it means people. At first glance, guys seems inviting, friendly, maybe warm, even comedic at times. But it, like many male default terms, should not be normalized as an all-encompassing phrase, innocent as it may seem. While we may understand the word means no real harm, with a deeper look, you'll understand that we've been ignoring the cognitive impact on women as well as gender non-conforming folks by only explicitly addressing the male identifying individuals present.
All right, guys. Seriously.
Wow.
Come on, guys.
Do you know what this makes normal people do? Say guys more.
Yeah. Provoke.
So when my two-year-old, it's his normal parting phrase whenever he is leaving a group. If we're at a party or if there are people at our house and they're leaving or whatever, his normal goodbye is, bye, guys.
Sexist.
Wave and bye, guys.
Patriarchy is strong in that one.
What an absolute
darn
piece
it.
Of...
Baby James.
Oh,
come on.
I can't believe it.
Well, there's a reason why.
The meaning of guys has changed over time. According to the Washington Post, etymologists believe it began in the 17th century with a guy named Guy Fawkes, a participant in the failed 1605 gunpowder plot. He only barely escaped a brutal execution by jumping off a scaffold and breaking his neck. For the next few centuries, those who likened him in fashion, appearance, or intellect were referred to as guys.
If you say guys.
Eventually, according to the Boston Globe, the term broadened to describe creepy people, then to a generic term for men.
Why'd she
and
laugh?
Now, some would say,
why was
a
that
gender
funny?
Neutral phrase. For decades, we have set a standard of only addressing the men in the room. Of course, we claim it's colloquial, but with our elevated knowledge and inclusive perspective, it just seems lazy, inconsiderate, and a small part of what reinforces the gender hierarchy today.
So,
or it's just a word.
It's just a freaking word.
Or we have elevated knowledge now. Guys.
She said she goes through that.
No. Oh, whoa, whoa. You just did it.
Thank
you. Man, words. I wish I had a buzzer that I could sound right now that would go. I don't. She goes through from Guy Fawkes and walks us through history there to explain why we're all terrible people, and she goes from saying, and then. It talked about creepy people, and then it became about men. It's like, okay, I see you. I get what you're doing here.
How is one to feel empowered to speak or assert themselves when upon greeting, they're misgendered or even ignored in language? Can we be surprised that for decades, women often felt uncomfortable asserting their voice when we didn't even take the time to properly acknowledge them? These linguistic tendencies were developed and reinforced in eras where women were barely meant to be seen and certainly not heard.
Okay, I have a problem with this. She's talking about how women felt like their voices wouldn't be heard. She's talking about how women were apprehensive to speak. there was a time when women did not have rights that men have. In fact,
repeat that. I wasn't listening.
Shut up. Shut your mouth, guy. You're such a man, Tony.
I know.
You're so inconsiderate of my feelings.
I know. It's an absolute.
How rude.
It's disgusting. Sorry, ladies.
Are you done? Ladies.
I am.
Ladies. This idea that women and men aren't equal, that was a real thing. It was a really big thing. Black men had the right to vote before white women did. That's like significantly before. That's just the truth. So I respect the fact that we have had a women's movement in history that has gotten it to the place where here I am talking to you, honestly, on a station full of men. And I would also add the show was run by a 26-year-old female who got this job because, Katie, you're really good at it.
Thanks.
You are. You're really good at it. You have the chops, you have the confidence, and you have the ability to do it, so you got the job. The morning show is run by Trisha, who's really good at it. And Rachel ran the Dave Glover show for a long time, mm-hmm. and she's really good at it. Enough mm-hmm. to where she
got promoted.
Graduated out of that, and now they're dealing with Wiggins. That's what I hear. That's the rumor on the street.
That's the rumor.
I'm just saying that there are a lot of women working in this industry right now that I know and see. Oh, there's Wiggins.
Ryan just walked in the door and shrugged his shoulders like, what? Why you gotta take a shot at me?
I'll take a Wiggins any day.
I get enough between.
If I can get Paul Rudd light on my show, I'm going to take it.
It's a good combo.
PRL. There are women working in places that were predominantly men for a really long time. And now we have this ability. If we're going to take what our foremothers did for us to give us the seat at the table because we earned it, let's not be ridiculous about it and wag our finger in the face of people when they say, guys, this is not what the women's rights movement was about. Adrian Norman has been a guest on our show, and we should probably, let's reach out to him and, mm-hmm. and see if we can get him on the show this week. I love Adrian Norman. He is an outspoken, I think he leans libertarian. He's an African-American man. He's been to the White House with the president. He's active in the Blexit kind of movement that Candace Owens is involved in. And he posted yesterday, it was the Dave Chappelle 2 minutes or so that Dave Chappelle does on abortion. And he lists out some things about Dave Chappelle, but in the point of his tweet is that Dave Chappelle's special is called Sticks and Stones. The rest of that is may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That used to be like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we allowed to say that anymore? Because words are not violence. Words can only hurt you if you allow them to hurt you. People can come in my face and say anything that they want to say to my face, and I'm the one who gets to decide whether I care or not, whether it engages a fight in me or a flight in me or indifference in me. I'm the one who gets to decide that. This chick doesn't get to decide it for me. She also doesn't get to speak for women. And she also doesn't get to chastise men into understanding which corner of the room they're supposed to sit in until she gets to tell them they can get up and participate. That's all of PC culture now. We have gotten away from where I think the politically correct initial idea, like for instance, the R word. I don't like that word. There is a way to use that word in music. And it makes me uncomfortable when it's used in music, even though it's been used in music that way for a very long time. The reason we don't use that anymore is because it is insensitive to people, and we have grown better because we don't, as a community, accept that word in regular language. That doesn't mean that people can't say it. That doesn't mean that people can't choose to use that language knowing or not knowing. Maybe they're ignorant. They're allowed to be ignorant. In this country, ignorance is not illegal. We have a First Amendment. And I am kind of an advocate for open your mouth and speak what you want to say, because then I can really judge who you are. If you're very quiet, if you don't speak out, it's hard for me to gauge where you are on things, who you are as a person, how compassionate are you, how caring are you, how much of an a-hole are you. When people speak and they say something and I quickly get to understand where you're coming from, I can quickly make that decision on whether I want to spend more time with you or less time with you. And policing language like this doesn't make anything better for anybody. Because if people, you know, I think back to specific instances like here in town where that Martin Luther King Jr. Day was discussed and the word came out of the anchor's mouth and people were up in arms. I heard a lot of people saying, suggesting that that word couldn't come out of your mouth unless you use it regularly in language. Like it has to be something that's part of your daily vernacular. I've never heard anybody speak about other races in my circle of people using that kind of language. Like literally.
People slip up all the time.
If it's just a jumble of words in your mouth. Yeah. And if you're somebody who speaks for a living, God forgive me for the time that I get words tangled up in my mouth and it comes out in a bad way.
It happens to everyone who does this for a living.
But we have this automatic reaction, assuming that everything is offensive. Everybody is going to act in an offensive way. And then in this political climate that we're in, it all comes back to politics. Like, you're a certain kind of person, so naturally you would use a certain kind of language. We have no individuality.
Who are the people that are actually upset with someone saying, hey, guys? That's what I would like to know, because I have never met someone that would purely 100% be offended if I walked into a group of individuals, men and women, and said, hey, guys, what's up?
Nobody.
I guess nobody you hang out with is
woke.
Woke.
Ain't nobody woke.
It just blows my mind. And, you know, to think,
I'm
like,
woke.
Look, to put it in the context of the...
I'm wokest.
You're the wokest.
Wokest?
Sure.
Woke as?
Yeah, I'm woke.
That's where I thought you were going.
That's what I was saying. That's all I was saying, though. Woke as.
Is the dump button work?
Can be.
Have we tested? Do we know? If you think about how...
The wokest person you ever woke.
You are not woke. You are aware.
I'm the wokest person.
I wouldn't
that
call
ever
you woke.
Woked.
I am the wokest person who's I'm ever the, woken up.
I'm the wokest that ever walked. Guys.
Oh!
No, I'm not.
Your two-year-old. You need to teach your two-year-old better.
Yeah, he's not woke.
He calls spreading everybody. Patriarchy.
He always says, guys.
Everywhere he goes, and he's doing it without any understanding.
And he's so cute when he does it.
Oh,
so
it's so great.
It just
the way men are.
It just it just plants the seeds. He does it so cute that you think, oh, it's just fine. A cute baby. And he's like, ha ha, spreading masculinity.
I don't like
fools. And he's probably not even aware of it, because men are usually not aware when it's just he's just used to it being male.
Mm-hmm.
That when he says,
now somebody get over here and change my diaper.
And then they do.
I own this place.
I run this household.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, listen here, boy. You got to get more woke.
Go home and say that today, right after. Prepare the children.
Prepare the children.
Kids are going to be very confused. Very confused. Mark
woke
Cox
them
is going to join us.
Get them woke. Prepare them for their father, who is the wokest of the
clean
walking.
Shoes. The laundry must be done.
And you must be woke. Those guys. God. Darn it.
Messed up again. It's so tough.
Is Christine woke? Is the wife woke?
No, she ain't woke. She's a girl.
Nah,
come on.
Man. Nah, man. She ain't woke. Nah.
Nah, dog.
Nah, man.
Oh, man.
For real.
Oh, man. Is Mark Cox woke?
Guess we'll find out in a minute.
I think the actual question is Mark Cox awake
yes.
from his afternoon nap? Somebody
question.
Go woke Mark Cox up. Mm-hmm. And we will ask him that question when he comes back. Because he's the type of person who would say, hey, guys, and he wouldn't think of it. But that's because none of us would think of it because we all say it and we don't mean anything by it. Ridiculous. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show joining us in a few minutes here on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I've now worked with him first as CIA director and now as Secretary of State. Someone asked, what would the policy be different absent any individual being here? These have been the president's policies. We give him our best wisdom. We share with him our understanding. When I was intelligence director, we did our best to make sure he had the facts and data available so he could make good decisions. But I don't think any leader around the world should make any assumption that because someone of us departs, that President Trump's foreign policy will change in a material way.
That's the Secretary of State speaking earlier on the firing / resigning of John Bolton as national security advisor. And the word is that they will have somebody next week put in place. I've seen in the last week stories suggesting that Kim Jong-un wants to start up conversations again on denuclearization. I guess it's that time. Every couple months, it's like, oh, let's do this again. And then we engage in some conversation and then it ends the same way. And we've heard the possibility of China talks reengaging in October. And there's a big story last night about the CIA and having to talk about some spies that were in Russia, and CNN was reporting. I mean, like, there's a lot going on the national stage right now. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, most of the local media is focusing on Sharpies on hurricane maps. And I don't know if Donald Trump does that on purpose. I don't know if he's like, watch this one and then does it. Or if he's like, no, they said Alabama, the report said Alabama. So he adds that on there because Trump does what Trump does.
Because it's Donald Trump.
Yeah. But, you know, according to what Secretary Pompeo says there, this is the president's foreign policy. And if an advisor leaves, it was the president's plan before. It'll be the president's plan again. Here's Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
The one thing I would just say, follow up, because the president's been very clear on this. The president's view of the Iraq war and Ambassador Bolton's was very different. The president's made that clear.
So there is a difference of opinion, and now the president is taking it in a different direction. Let's get to Mark Cox on this issue.
Very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up.
Mark Cox, the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. Since you've been off the air, John Bolton has resigned or been fired from his position as national security advisor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that news conference earlier, Annie. Thank you. And I don't know. I'm sure he was fired, but I don't know why they're parsing the word so much. I mean, Bolton immediately texts Brian Kilmeade. I heard you off the top of your show, play that sound clip, says, I resigned, I wasn't fired. But what the president said was, I told him I wanted him to leave and he should submit his resignation. So, yes, he resigned, but it's because the president wanted him to resign. What difference at this point does it make, to quote one of my favorite politicians mm-hmm. of all time? Right. I mean, just like the weather map you talked about. I'm not kidding you, Annie. This morning, during one of the commercial breaks in my show, at the top of the hour, at 7 a.m., walked into the conference room and the lunch room, and CBS Morning Show was on. And the second story in their national newscast after the rescue of the men on that tanker that tipped over was a White House correspondent standing in front of the White House telling us about the continued controversy from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration map. And I'm thinking to myself, the storm is gone. That was well over a week ago, and you're still talking about this.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. And, Mark, I completely agree with you when it comes to Trump and Bolton and this story When we did it at the top of the show, I said, look, the bottom line is he's not the national security advisor anymore, and Trump's going to be hiring somebody next week. That's the real story, but that's the only real story. But, of course, all this palace intrigue and talk about, you know, whether he was fired or resigned. But I believe that part of that is brought on to the president by himself, probably intentionally, when he puts in the, you know, if it was just he stepped down or I asked him to resign and he did and leave it at that, that's one thing. But there's always that dig, like in this morning's tweet, that says I fired him because I didn't like any of the suggestions he had, and neither did anybody else in the administration. And so if I'm John Bolton, I completely understand wanting to put my side of the story out there, because now I feel like he's taking shots at me for no reason. So I think some of it that gets stirred up and gets the press going is, you know, the fire is, the fuse is lit by the president.
True. And be careful how you answer this, but what's Donald Trump's favorite F word?
Uh-oh. Fired?
Fired.
Yeah.
You're fired. He loves that word. Come on. He says it all the time. You know, we need to remember that the hissy fit that the media threw when he appointed John Bolton to that position. They hated John Bolton.
Yeah.
John Bolton was a hawk.
Yeah, war
John
hawk.
Bolton's going to get us in World War III. Why would the president appoint out John Bolton? And now they're all crying because John Bolton is not with the administration anymore, which just really rips the clothes off the emperor. All they really care about is whatever story they can tackle next to be critical of this administration. Doesn't matter what the story is of the day. And you're right. The president doesn't help the matter any with his tweets, but he's almost like the guy at the other end of the mouse, the cat toy. The cat's going to jump around and chase it. The media is the cat, and the president is constantly toying with them.
Yeah, I think that's, at this point, definitely true. I wanted to ask you, Mark, before I let you go, and I don't know how you're going to handle this on your show tomorrow, but we are 18 years today away from a different time in America. I remember I was a senior in high school on the morning of September 11th, and so I usually classify that as I was as old as you could be as a kid and as young as you could be as an adult. I was 17 years old, and I didn't even know what a terrorist was. I didn't know the whole concept of what was taking place on the morning of September 11th was so foreign from my everyday way of thinking as a high school student. What were you doing on September 11th morning, and how did that affect your life on that day?
Yeah, I was the morning news anchor at KMOV. I remember sitting on the news desk. We had just cut away to CBS for about a 10-minute news update from CBS this morning. And
were you on the air?
We were not. We were waiting to come back from a cutaway to the network. And then Harry Smith broke in live, because a portion of those cut-ins were taped. Harry Smith broke in live and said, we were just seeing reports of a small plane, we believe, that's crashed into, you know, one of the towers, the World Trade Center, and they cut away live to it. And of course, they never came back to us locally. At that point, it was all network television. And then they started, you know, we gathered in the newsroom to figure out how we were going to cover it locally. And I remember I believe the first place I was sent was the Eagleton Courthouse building, because the belief was at that point, any federal building might potentially be a target.
Yeah.
So I was dispatched there, and other reporters went out to the airport, and I ended up at the airport at some point, which was just surreal on a day when all air traffic in America stopped. And of course there were all the planes on the tarmac at Lambert. And one of the touching stories we covered is that quickly the hotels filled up, and local churches were sending their church buses there to pick people up and take them to their homes overnight to shelter them, because they had nowhere else to go.
Yeah. That day is something that is so surreal to look back on. And I think it's even kind of strange for me personally, because I feel like I grew up in a really fast way that day, like a lot of people my age did. Being a senior in high school, there were quite a few people who were my age who made a decision that day to sign up for the military and are still serving in the military today. And I just think
all the different walks of life that everybody leads and the people listening right now, we all remember that day and we all remember it differently. But I think that talking about those stories, it's a good, healthy exercise to do, because I think it puts into perspective the daily minutiae of what we deal with on a daily basis here now with the Sharpie gate and the constant bickering back and forth, going back to that day and remembering what is out there in the world and what has been. I think it gives us a little bit of a dose of reality. So thanks for sharing that story with us.
Yeah, it changed everything, Annie. It changed it brought the war on terror to our home shores, and hopefully here we are today debating whether we should be in Iraq or have peace talks with the Taliban, and it's just all these years later we're still fighting the same war.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, we will be sure to be listening tomorrow and hear stories that I'm sure you guys will have and the rest of the show, because the one thing that we did learn too from 9/11 is that we do have to go on with our way of life, and we do have to continue to be Americans and act as such. So we always appreciate listening to you in the morning, and we always appreciate you here in the afternoon.
You bet, Annie. Thank you.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Listen in tomorrow. We're going to have some interesting things for you tomorrow, and we've got a really, really amazing video that we're going to show you. And Katie and I put this together while we were in New York, so we're going to save that conversation for tomorrow. But for me personally, being able to visit the 9/11 Memorial was an experience I'll never forget, to be there at Ground Zero and to walk that ground and to know what happened there 18 years ago. But I think you'll be interested in what I have to say, but I really am looking forward to Katie talking about it, because you were eight?
Yep.
8 years mm-hmm. old. So, and we'll get Tony's story as well tomorrow. So be sure to tune in tomorrow, a special day, as it will be at least for the rest of my life, where we reflect on the events of September 11th, 2001. So we'll have that for you tomorrow. Let's take some phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. If you want to join the show, we will talk to you here in just a minute. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I go out and sometimes I'll be at these huge audiences, and I wish we could have gotten a larger arena than this. We tried. I was even willing to stand out in the rain and get my hair soaking wet. But they said it was a little bit out of your district. And I said, I don't know if it looks good being out of your district, but I was willing to do it. I would have taken it. I would have been very proud to have done it. It would have shown it's my real hair, at least. It wouldn't be pretty, but it's my hair. May not be great, but I will say it's better than most of my friends who are the same age.
I love it.
So, haha.
Oh, man. You know, I have a theory on Donald Trump's hair, and that theory is that he has had that same haircut forever. And even if it looks bad, it almost makes him look timeless.
Yes.
He doesn't age. I mean, he's in his mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't act the way other people who are in their mid-70s. Like, he doesn't have that old old man vibe like Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. does. Like, I think Bernie Sanders has his wits about him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an intellectual. I think he's incredibly wrong on most all issues. But I don't feel like he's, you know, quote unquote, too old to do what he's doing. Joe Biden, on the other hand, he says weird stuff all the time.
As days go by,
yes.
I start to question more and more what's going on with Joe.
So we hear this earlier, this is a Facebook thing, and it pops up. Like, I don't know. I guess I follow it. Sometimes they have interesting things. Sometimes I'm like, oh,
no,
have mercy. We're not supposed to say guys because it's not gender neutral enough. And it encourages women to not feel like they have a voice.
honey, if that encourages you to feel like you don't have a voice, you've got to consider other things in your life. Like, make that voice be heard.
Just do it.
You think Joe Biden is being held to the standard of don't say guys? He says really ridiculously offensive things from time to time, whether he means it or he doesn't mean it, like whether it's a, you know, to me, a gaffe by definition is something you do but didn't intentionally set out to cause the reaction, the negative reaction that it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. I don't know if Donald Trump's quote-unquote gaffes are actually gaffes, because I think that he's like a bomb thrower. He just lobs them over. Bombs are coming. Like,
doesn't care about the repercussion.
No, if you are on the other side, if you're not in his bunker, heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are on his side, he'll protect you. Just make sure that when you're on his side, you're really actually on his side.
I think that that is something that Joe Biden would like to achieve. I think that whenever people ask him about these gaffes, he would like everyone else to perceive it as like, well, it's just me being me. Whatever. I don't really care. I stumbled. I made mistakes. Whatever. Like Donald Trump does. Donald mm-hmm. Trump is like, okay.
But you know what the difference is? Joe Biden is a career politician.
Yes.
And people see through that. So in the state of Illinois right now, there are a lot of people asking the question, is there light at the end of this tunnel? I feel like I've been in the dark of this tunnel for so long. Like, is there any hope? And I've been engaging in a lot of conversations with people who are considering running for office. And if you're a Republican in the state of Illinois, all three of us, you're looking around going, how can this be surmountable? My advice has been for anybody in the state of Illinois who has any elected office whatsoever, act like a conservative, a fiscal conservative. No other issue in the state of Illinois right now is as winnable as being an advocate for the taxpayer. Those people who are still in the state because they love the state. Those people who are still in the state because they've built a life, a family, a business, a farm in the state of Illinois, and they don't want to leave it. It is simple to say, just leave. You guys tell it to me every time. Every time I get gas on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, go like the page. Every time I get gas, I get it in Missouri now. I have not bought a drop of Illinois gas since they doubled the gas tax in the state of Illinois. Do you know that after they doubled the tax on gas in the state of Illinois, it went from 19 cents to 38 cents a gallon. Do you know that they also sign in that same bill, that same law, that it is to go up every year forever, to quote The Sandlot, forever. It's going to go up. That's what the state of Illinois wants to do. That's what the leadership in the state of Illinois wants to do. I've been talking to people who are interested in contributing, maybe not on a, I'm going to run for office and fix the state of Illinois, but people just want to be involved. They want to know where to go. They want to know what to do. They want to know how to help fix the problem. My advice is for people to start acting like the conservatives they are, or at least the fiscally responsible people that you are. If you're not a conservative in the state of Illinois, if you're a Democrat in the state of Illinois, if you're a union member in the state of Illinois, if you're a teacher in the state of Illinois, if you're somebody who's only ever voted for a Democrat in the state of Illinois and you still want to be in the state of Illinois, look at where the state is headed. Massive disarray. So when we look at the Joe Bidens of the world and we look at the Donald Trumps of the world, who wants another slick politician to go into Springfield in the state of Illinois and do more of the politician-y types of things that gets us where we are right now? In Illinois, all of the effort that is put forth by conservatives, you know what a win for a conservative in Illinois is? It's a compromise where you have to come home to your district and you have to tell your district what you got for what you compromised. And the reason they get what they get because they compromised, for instance, in this infrastructure gas tax increase, they were told you vote for this or you don't get any money in your district. Like, it wasn't, it was going to pass no matter what. It was going to make it through because they have a super majority in both houses and a Democratic governor. They say, you vote for this or we're not sending any money to your district. So then those representatives are hamstrung because if they vote against it, then they don't get anything. My question to the Republicans in the state of Illinois, the elected officials in the state of Illinois, whether it's at the state level or the local level, is if we're going to lose on everything, can we at least lose as Republicans? Can we at least be proud conservatives that fought for the taxpayers so that when it comes time to run in an election, we can say that, no, I didn't get anything done because there aren't enough people here that are willing to stand up for your rights as taxpayers to fight for your paycheck. There aren't enough people here. So you know what you can do for me as voters? You can get more people here who are willing to have that spine, that backbone, and stand up for the taxpayer. And in my conversations with people in state government, they say, you know, why we don't always hear from the voter. We don't always hear that people are upset that something's going to happen. I'm like, A, that's because it happens so quickly. People don't find out about it. And B, it's because they feel like it's hopeless. And they feel helpless. So my encouragement to you, if you're listening, if you're in the state of Illinois, if you're listening and you're in the state of Missouri and you know somebody who's in Illinois, let's get a little rowdy. Let's get a little respectfully rowdy and let's get together so that we know that next year, in 2020, when J.B. Pritzker is putting this progressive income tax on the ballot and he's going to ask us, hey, we can just raise taxes on the wealthy people like me, J.B. Pritzker, the heir to the Hyatt Foundation. People like me should be paying more money because I have billions of dollars. That's not what the progressive income tax is going to do. It's going to take the flat tax away, where the state can't raise your rate in increments over different courses of tax brackets because it's a flat tax, and they're going to create 6 tax brackets. And then they can inch all of those up. They can change where the bracket is, and everybody will be susceptible to the whims of the people in the legislature. That's what a progressive income tax is going to do for you. Now, if you don't want that to pass, you also need to send another couple of Republicans into Springfield. And if you've got a Republican running in your district and they aren't the slickest, shiniest politician you've ever seen, I'd say fantastic. Enough of what we've had before. Let's get some real people in there. Let's do something that's real and honest and remind those slick politicians that are in Springfield, we're done with this. First, we get out of the super minority and then we take the next step in 2022 with J.B. Pritzker. But we've got to be vocal. We've got to be active. Call your representative today and tell him what you think. It's a great day to do it because you're awake. That's all you need.
You're woke.
You're now woke to the way Illinois actually is. All right, stick around. We got another hour coming for you. Signs of the apocalypse on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.